Hey everyone, before we dig into our topic today, I wanted to say a thank you. Over the past several weeks, obviously we've had a few changes in how we operate, and I just am so grateful for the regular prayer and also financial support that you've been providing. Together, we've been able to make a big difference both within our church and helping people walk through difficulties and struggles and providing them help and hope. But we've also been able to make a difference in our community too. As you know, one of our big partners is Lorton Community Action Center. They're doing such a phenomenal job. One of the challenges they've had is with schools closing, the kids that are on subsidized lunches or kids that get breakfast and lunch at the school have been missing. And so they've had a 2,000% increase in their need for providing food for these kids. They've just doing a phenomenal job, but they've needed help. So we got together, we talked with Linda Patterson, we came up with a project called the Snack Pack Attack, where we wanted to provide resources to help these kids through LCAC. With your giving, some of you individually, above and beyond your regular giving and through our general budget, we were able to come up with the materials and now the manpower to put together 5,000 of these snack bags. It's making a difference, both practically, but also it's a real statement that we care about our community. So thank you for that. Those of you that have been supporting, we're glad you have. Please continue. And anyone that would like to find out more about how you can give to the work we're doing here at New Hope, just ask the host or go to info@newhope.org. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you a couple of new initiatives we're doing that are really, really cool. They're going to provide some ways for us to connect with each other and very practical. So hang on. After the last song, I'll be back with you and just give you a handful of things to think about. Today, we're looking at this idea of authenticity. To be authentic, if you look at the dictionary, you come up with these things. It means being real, genuine, not false, not fake. We get this. We understand the difference between what's authentic and what's phony. Here's a couple of examples. For instance, here's a picture of some purses. One is a genuine Coach purse and the other is not. One costs $450 or more and the other maybe $45. There's similarities, but there's some big differences too. Here's another one. Here's some watches. These are Rolex watches. They're easy to mistake, but if you're a genuine Rolex person, you don't want to buy the fake one. You don't want to spend thousands and thousands of dollars for something that it was only worth $40. We see this. In fact, one of the things that an article I read said that there is more money made on fake Rolexes than is spent on real ones. We like our image, don't we? And here's another one. This is a famous painting by the Dutch painter Vermeer. It was painted in the 1600s, and it's just an absolute masterpiece. The people that know art have they fawn over this. But back in the 1940s, there was another artist and he was able to fake them. And he made over $30 million in today's money faking these Vermeers. He did it. He would paint something, put it in a pizza oven to age it. He fooled experts. He fooled galleries. But it was still not the real thing. This idea of authenticity is important to us. And when it comes to purses and watches and paintings, you know, those are important, but there's something that's much, much more important and worse when it's not authentic. And that is when we have inauthentic relationships. Most of us would say we honor and respect authenticity, but if we're honest, if we're really honest, this is something that we don't find that often because all of us find ourselves hiding behind mask or veneer that we have. In fact, the Bible uses the word hypocrite, which means to play act, to pretend, to not really be what you say you are. I want to give you another example. This is from the movie Adjustment Bureau with Matt Damon. Matt Damon is an up-and-coming politician. He's run for the Senate and he lost, and he was ahead until something came out from when he was college when he had mooned somebody. It was considered a prank, but people looked at him and thought maybe he's just too immature. He's got a big career ahead of him, But after this defeat, he is meeting with his supporters. And I want you to listen. I want you to hear what he's saying, because it gives us a picture of what we're looking at today. Let's watch this together.
Congressman David Morris. Now, I grew up not far away from here in Red Hook. I love you both. But we had a rule in my neighborhood. When you got in a fight, it wasn't whether or not you got knocked down. It's what you do when you get back up. And I came here to tell you tonight that I will get back up.
We didn't have that saying in my neighborhood. It's just one of those phrases that it had some traction with the focus group, and so we kept using it, but it's not true. You know, in 1998, I did a cover story for GQ. The title was Youngest Congressman Ever. And since then, every story has tried to explain how I got here so fast. And the word that people kept using was authentic. But here's the problem. This isn't even my tie.
Go get Jim for me.
This tie was selected for me by a group of specialists in Tenafly, New Jersey, who chose it over 56 other ties we tested. In fact, our data suggests that I have to stick to either a tie that is red or a tie that is blue. A yellow tie made it look as if I was taking my situation lightly, and I may, in fact, pull my pants down again at any moment. A silver tie meant that I'd forgotten my roots. My shoes. You know, shiny shoes, we associate with high-priced lawyers and bankers. If you want to get a working man's vote, you need to scuff up your shoes a little bit. But you can't scuff them up so much that you alienate the lawyers and the bankers, because you need them to pay for the specialist back in Tenafly. So what is the proper scuffing amount? Do you know, we actually paid a consultant $7,300. Was it $7,300, Charlie? $7,300 for a consultant to tell us that this is the perfect amount of scuffing.
We yearn for authenticity. It's something that is built into us, but yet it's a scary thing when we begin thinking about, am I going to be that kind of person? Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But the Lord, it says, search all hearts and examine secret motives. So there's this thing about me being inauthentic or fake or phony, but there's this thing about God where he gets it. And my pretending and hiding from him is not going to help me. And so I'm kind of stuck in this place. How do I want to be seen? How do I want to be perceived? But yet, if I'm not careful, what happens is I live this hidden kind of life. John Powell, in his book, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Really Am? It's an interesting book, and it's got some real key points in it that I think are worth looking at. He talks about levels of communication, levels of connecting with others, and there are five of them. I want to go through them real quick, and I want you to see which ones you are familiar with. The first is just cliches. Cliches are like, how are you? And someone says, fine. There's zero risk in this kind of thing. You move from cliches to a deeper level called facts. Facts would be something like, did you watch the NFL draft last night? Again, it's not risky at all. It's information, but there's no danger to it. These next three levels, though, we start getting in a little bit more dangerous territory. The third level is my ideas. Because once I put out my idea, I might get evaluated. And my idea might be, I liked who the Redskins picked. I think Young is good. The moment I say that, I might find some pushback. I might find someone else saying, well, that's stupid, or no, he's not that good. Why didn't they pick someone else? So I go from my ideas down to my feelings, and my feelings is much different because my feelings get more to the core of who I am. It might be something like this. I've moved from sports to saying, I'm afraid I might lose my wife. That changes the conversation a lot. Someone may ask me more to find out more, but I'm opening myself up to more scrutiny. And the last and the deepest level, according to Powell, is when I get very, very honest. And that's when I say, maybe I will go from, I'm afraid I might lose my wife, to I've been drinking a lot. And I know I'm changing. I know I'm hiding. And it is killing my relationships. You see, if we're not careful, we can live a life on the surface that seems okay, but it's designed to keep us from really being known, because we're afraid that if we're known, it might not go well. God has given us a very clear standard for building healthy relationships. He's our manufacturer. He knows what you and I need, and He wants to help us to understand what life really could be like if we begin to live authentically. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead of living in the surface, instead of hiding, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. So what I'd like to do is I want to show you a diagram. Now, this is mine, and I do want to thank Becky, because she came along and she did the writing for me this week so that you could actually read what's on here. I want to look at, there's a continuum here I want us to look at on how we relate. On one side we have over here, we have living in a fake kind of way. It's where I live a pretend kind of life. I'm doing something for show. I want you to see something that I control that is not necessarily all of me, might not even really be me. But it's a way for me to present myself that feels safe and secure. And the problem with that is I'm not really telling you the truth. I'm not showing you the truth. I'm showing you exactly what I want you to do. It's like someone that always masks things with humor. Or they might just be an angry person, and they come up with a way to disguise what's really going on inside. But they're not being real. They're being phony. And we see this a lot of times with religious things, where people will pretend to be religious. They'll say the right kind of God talk, and it's not genuine. It's not really who they are. On the other side of the continuum, we have another category. And that is, it's not fake, but it's unfiltered. And you'll hear people say this all the time, say, oh, I'm just being honest. I always tell the truth. I'm just going to tell you like it is. And the thing about unfiltered is it may be true. But it is not loving. We have people all the time that will, in the guise of telling the truth, will hurt people deeply. It's just like they don't have to think about how others are doing, because they mask it with this idea of, I'm just telling the truth. And it's interesting, too, about this, is sometimes we see this as people that are kind of brash and mean and all that, but it also can be people that are full of self-pity, people that will constantly tell you how they're really doing inside, and they're doing it just to get you to care about them, just to get your attention, just to get sympathy, to be treated as a victim. Again, that's not loving at all. So what do we do with this? On the continuum, I can be fake or phony to hide what I'm really like, or I can be unfiltered and just let it all out, which is not good either. And here's what God says, is He wants you and I to be authentic. And being authentic means that we're going to have both truth and love, that we're going to figure out how to live this out in our relationships so that we're not faking it. We're not pretending we're something we're not, and we're not unfiltered. We're not just dumping everything we have on people. This being authentic is the way God intended for you and I to live. It's rare, but it's definitely not impossible. And throughout this series, we're going to explore more and more about what it means to be authentic. What are the practical implications of living out this thing of living in the truth, sharing the truth, speaking the truth, but also living in love, caring about others, and balancing out what we do with these two things always in our mind. Never just going for one or the other. Again, I can be fake and say, well, I'm loving others. I don't want to be more than they can handle. I can be unfiltered, though, and tell the truth because the truth is important. But I haven't really loved people. I need to have both of these if I'm going to have the life God intended. When we decide to pursue living authentically, listen to this. When you and I decide that we're going to live authentically, we are on the way to becoming truly free in our relationship with God and with ourselves and with others. And this freedom is something to not be taken for granted. It is something that causes you and I to just really become alive. Listen, Jesus said this. He goes, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. I'm concerned that a lot of us live with all kind of burdens and baggage because we've not lived authentically. We've not been able to do this love and truth together. And so we live in kind of a bondage. We live in a fear. We live in this with this burden on us that God never intended. And it ends up crushing us and holding us back. So I want to go through three questions for each of us to ask ourselves if we want to really become authentic. I want you to think about this. If you've got a way to take some notes, I wish you would jot some things down. And maybe as we're going through this, you might ask your host, say, what does authentic really mean? What does it mean for me to truly be what God intended? What might happen to me if I were? So let's look at these three questions. The first one is this. Am I growing in being honest with God? Honest meaning I'm not holding back, not pretending, not faking it, not going through some religious motions just to maybe appease him. I'm not hiding. I'm not blaming others. I'm just being gut level honest with God. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. And the thing that God offers you and me that maybe we're unaware of is that when you and I get honest with him and when we come to him and confess just means that if God says something is wrong, I agree that it's wrong and I come to him and say, I've been wrong, whatever that thing is. And God will never shame me and he will not reject me for doing that. Some of us have never known a relationship where when we were wrong, someone didn't guilt us or reject us or use it somehow against us. God will never do that. We know that because of the great love he has shown us through his son, Jesus Christ. Finally, it goes on to say in Psalm 32, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Do you hear the freedom in this? When you and I get really honest with God and we come to him and we, instead of hiding, pretending, faking it, we just admit, God, I've been so wrong. When I did this, my action today toward my wife was wrong. Or the way I ignored my kids was wrong. Or the way I sloughed off my work was wrong. God, my attitude, my inner attitude toward this person or these people is really wrong. I know it doesn't reflect what you want in me. And God, even when I did the right thing, my motive was self-centered. So when I look at my actions, I look at my attitudes, and I look at my motives, when I look at those in the bright light of truth, and it comes out that I've been wrong and not honored God, I can ask him to forgive me, and he says he will. So take just a moment now. Is there anything you know of right now in your life that you've not owned up to God, that you've not said, God, I've been wrong with this? Is there anything that just, as you think about it, it's making your palms sweat? You're thinking, oh, I've really never addressed that, or I'm I've not gone to God with this. I've not been honest about it. Why don't you do that? Write it down. We're going to pray at the end of this message. He can handle it, and he wants to handle it. He can forgive, and he wants to forgive. All you and I have to do is humbly ask. As we wrestle with this thing about being honest with God, and as we begin to pursue that, we find that we have the courage to go further. And that is going into being really honest with myself. For some of us, this is a tough one. Getting closer to God, though, what happens is I begin to see more and more what's true and real. And then what happens is I begin to see that I don't measure up to that. Some of you know what it's like. I don't do makeup, but if those that do makeup, you have a makeup light. And you take that and you put it up here, you get real close because you want to see exactly what's going on. You don't want to miss anything. You go to the dermatologist and they'll put on glasses. They'll put a bright light on your skin. They want to see exactly what's there. It's uncomfortable. I mean, it's embarrassing. But without that bright light, I don't really see what's happening. And some things could be missed. In the case of a dermatologist, they could miss some cancer. So with you and me, the closer we get to God, and the more we understand what he's like and what his holiness is like and what his righteousness is like, we begin seeing that, man, I'm not there. And I begin to realize I need to get honest about who I am and what I am so I can really, really become the person God intended. Being honest about myself can be very scary. At the same time, it brings me great freedom because I no longer have to pretend. I don't have to fake it. I don't have to hide. I no longer have to mask it by maybe being unfiltered and just doing all kind of loud, obnoxious kind of things at others. I many times people do that as a way to tell people to back off. I don't have to do that. There is freedom that I have as I experience God accepting me as I am, as I'm honest about myself and I come to him. There is this, again, the freedom we've talked about. Listen to this. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. It's true. And God wants to help me. He doesn't do it to in any way put me down. He wants me to see what's there, and he wants it to be a partnership. And as I begin to be more and more honest with myself and come to him, I see this freedom. Listen to this. This Psalm 139, I love this. And it's a prayer that over time you begin realizing it is scary at times, but it's freeing at times too. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life." The closer I get to know God, the more I know he's for me and he loves me. And the more I realize I don't have anything to fear from him. And when I ask him to search me, I'm asking him to have his way because I don't want there to be anything in me that gets in the way of me authentically being the person that he created me to be. When I hide, all it's doing is harming me and ultimately others. So this prayer takes courage, but it has so much life to it. Is there anything that you've not been honest with God about yourself? Anything that you've avoided looking at in yourself? Again, it goes back to motives and intentions, but is there anything in your life right now where you realize I've not been honest with myself, because until I do that and come to God, I'm not going to really be healed and I'll not really be whole. As you and I are growing in our honesty with God and with ourselves, it sets the stage and helps us to learn to grow in being honest with others. And this is really what we want. It's risky because I care about what others think about me. It's scary because I might let something out and I might lose my safety and the security that I've had of hiding behind certain facades. What if I reveal something and it doesn't get handled well? But the risk is, if I don't do it, that I'll end up being empty and I'll miss the opportunity to have the impact on others that God wants me to have. Back to that verse in Ephesians 4. Instead of hiding, instead of pretending, instead of living some other way, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. This describes what the church should be like. Authentic relationships built on speaking and living God's truth in love for him and love for each other. And as each of us takes on this and does our part, we can build something that will be, it will be in such stark contrast to the rest of the world that people will be wanting to know, how do you do this? How do you have this kind of closeness and this kind of fellowship? I want it too. And it begins with each of us doing our part. Acts 24:16, this is a great verse to memorize. It says, because of this, I try with all my strength to always maintain a clear conscience before God and before man. I want to do my part. I can't make somebody else be authentic. I can make sure that I am pursuing that myself. A question here about this being authentic in our relationships with others is, have you been keeping a distance from others to avoid being challenged or maybe to be inconvenienced because then you'll be called in to help them? Are you afraid you'll be exposed? Have you been hiding behind kind of religious actions and words and activities, but not really getting serious, not really honest, not authentic? We're going to explore a lot more of this in this series. But as we close, I want each of us to think about, how is my authenticity really, really doing? Am I being honest with God, with myself, and with others around me? What holds me back from it? What is keeping me from being willing to take the risk? And is it really a risk when God says that if you're honest and you come to me, I will in no way shame you, reject you. I'll be there for you. I want you to think about this for a moment and ask God to help you to really decide that I am going to become an authentic man, an authentic woman. I want to be your person on the scene and I want to be able to have a clear conscience, God. So I've asked John and Lydia Flowers to lead us in prayer. And as they do, join in with them and let's ask God to speak to us, to help us, to give us courage, to give us strength. And may we live in such a way that God says we are, we know we are, and others will see a growing authenticity in us.